July 10th, 2007. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt from Bedro Show, July 10th, 2007 edition, back from tour, well, leg of tour, 3 weeks, in Euroland, started in England, went to Poland, then to France, and then Sweden, then back to France, and then Greece, and then Israel. I got back Sunday night, 20 hours of flying, and pedaled yesterday kind of easy, because the hurt from the slipping outside the Greek theater, or the Egyptian theater. Remember the brand upon the brain narration?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was a trip.
There was some,
like vegetable oil, it wasn't motor oil, it wasn't dark, and I slipped and it was on the curb. I could put my hand on it, slipped. Went on my hands and my ass, but they didn't get hurt. My knee tried to hold me up, so it got sore, and it's slow healing. And, yeah, at Glastonbury, I was very little geisha boy steps there.
So you've been doing the new stance when you're playing. Has that been working
out
for you?
Yeah, you got to get up on the mic here, brother, man.
Knees?
Yeah, my Johnny Ramone thing. It has been. Step playing, bending my legs. Probably look even more of an asshole.
Elvis?
I should play, yeah, Elvis. I tell you what we play. We started to show off with Miles Mode by John Coltrane and something live with the Mr. Eric Dolphy with him. And then we played, this is the title here, Sibba Funuk. Sibba Funuk. Sibba Funuk. Kabuk. You letter? S-I-B. A-F-U-N-I-K-A-B-U-L-E-T-A.
Say it again?
How would you say that? How would, like Kyoko. How would you say that?
I have to see it.
Sibba Funuka Funuka Buleta.
Exactly. That's it.
Thai words get long, don't they?
Sure.
Yeah, well, maybe this is like that. She told me she stopped in Malaysia. Maybe... Do Malaysians talk, kind of?
They do talk.
Like you guys?
No.
No? Different?
Yeah,
it's
different.
It's not that far, though.
I know.
Is it next door?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever that is. That was trippy music. And in fact, there's some music from there that I'm going to try to put bass to. So I played a little bit for Brother Matt. It's about 180 beats a minute. So that should be an interesting challenge for me. We're here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, where Brother Matt says the heat wave of last week, my mom told me I missed, was unbeknownst to him.
Yeah.
Right? Because this universe
is pretty mellow and chill down here on the point. It's like almost island-like. I don't even see the real world behind my back.
Yeah.
Surrounded by water on three sides.
Well, she said she was sweltered big time. You know where it really is in the north part, like Park Western? And
oh, yeah.
Canyon,
yeah. I just went down the road to Harbor Rock one day, and it was baking, and I told them it was foggy here.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how
that's
extreme
like,
it was.
3 miles, 2 miles.
Yeah.
Italia's pad, too. On that
it
hill.
Bakes right there.
Yeah. So Pedro's made up of different regions.
Yeah, there's like 5 different climates right around here.
I know Pete, too, says up there on 25th and Pat, 27th and Pat, it can be like 10 degrees cooler.
Mm.
And also joining us once again is Pete.
Hi.
Welcome back.
From Glacelle Park.
Yes.
You had an adventure with your Mini Cooper.
Oh, I do not want to talk about it.
But she did, because that's how me and Brother Matt know.
I killed it.
Oh. The horror.
The horror.
But at least you're all right yourself, your person.
I think so.
Did you get some pictures?
Oh, no. I thought about it. I thought about
to do
it.
That.
But luckily, I didn't have a camera with me.
Right. Well, it's in the boneyard now, right?
Oh, it's at home.
Oh.
It's on. It's on like a really on the brink of life support. So.
Oh.
Either or.
But eventually, you know, make its way to the boneyard.
Yeah, where
dump
like
another Mini Cooper.
Yeah. Organ donors.
Yeah. Now Tony Mamone, a bass player hero of mine, who was in Perubim, has this project there in Brooklyn called Gotcha Bin. I think it's Puerto Rican slang. And I'm going to play you a song now from Gotcha Bin, Wat from Pedro.
the bed. Twisted, broken, rusted. West. To Dockland. Hammerhead, Vincent Thomas, Bridgeland. Angel Gate. Asia Train, Can Boat. Conduit. East again from where it began. A rusted iron, steel, smelter, coker, port. Angle bent, hammered. Furnace fed, primer lead. Red time. Early morning, never caught man. Built for them kind of man. Sailed in no can boat. Came off no fishing line. No crab net. No sea lion heart. Closed sea. Magnifying, narrowed in, faith, wide, flaky, disgust, snowfall of rust, rust, rust.
Watt from Pedro show. That was some intense stuff right there. That was Mr. Omar Farouk Tekbilek. Oh, fuck. Tekbilek. T-E-K-B-I-L-E-K. My apologies.
Blank.
Not being able to speak well.
Foreign tongues.
Words that should... You know, they're spelled out right for you. So, anyway, that was Imaginary Traveler. And before that, we had Pedro to Cleveland by the Book of Knots. That's something that I collaborated on with Tony Mamoni. Tony's got a studio in Brooklyn. What's it called? Say in here. Where is it? Then I have the CDs.
Must
I think it's G, Studio G. Here. Okay, that was some dead air. Sorry. But I want to do him respect, okay? Yeah, Tony did this at... Oh, shit. Of course, look at the credits. They're on little cards. Look at this.
Tiny
four tiny little cards.
Magnifier.
And,
if we wanted you to know, it would have been big.
Yeah, it's probably in here somewhere, huh? Tell us who plays what. Okay, that was a song called Pedro to Cleveland. What Tony did was, he had me, he sent me some synthesizer noises, sounds, kind of supposedly to his mind representing his time in Cleveland, in the Fleets, the Flats, which was the industrial part by the Lake Erie and the Cuyahoga River, Cuyahoga. Oh no, it caught fire in the 70s, though. It was so foul. Okay. And then from those sounds, he wanted me to do spiel and put bass on. And then I sent it back, and they went and put music on. There's just letters. J-H-T-M. Oh, T-M must be Tony Mamoni. It says electric bass. Oh, so I guess my bass got cut. It just says Watt text narration. Some dude was on throat callus, MB, and tape loop. CK was on tape loop, and Wu Fei was on gushing. We've played Wu Fei. Remember?
No.
Yeah, some trippy ass long song. I recognize that name, dude. Yeah. God, what a trip. Yeah, well, anyway, it was done somewhere in Brooklyn. Yeah, Carla Bozlich is on this.
Hello.
And the record's called Train Eater. Maybe these are like train tickets, huh? They go inside the CD book. So that was an interesting collaboration, you know? I didn't know what it was going to be made of it. And then we started with his, he's got another thing going with some cats there.
He's been getting a lot of that.
Called Freakonomics, huh?
The long distance.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Just finished Funanori. It's getting mixed, in fact, tomorrow, the next day, but in London. So we'll see what that, I'm sure it's going to sound good, you know, but I've learned with some things to really get interesting. It's good sometimes not to be in charge of it. You just put in your thing and you let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I don't know, The Rock and the Sphinx, you know? Mm-hmm. Didn't know it was going to end up like that. Maybe it did.
David.
I don't know about that. Maybe it did. Talking about Egyptian stuff, I had a few days in Paris, and usually I hoof, okay, and I take snaps as much as I can. And but because of slipping outside the Egyptian theater in Hollywood and that brand upon the brain, that was a pantshitter, brother, man. I was so glad. I got an email from one of the Foley ladies writing the maker, Guy Madden. And it was really nice what they said about my
thing.
Yeah. She said she did 30 of them. About 30 of them. She said I was the most. But man, it was, you know, I was seeing it as it was happening. I didn't get to see it ahead of time. And I just fell into it and I was sensitive. I was really listening to the orchestra. And anyway, back to the point. My knee was hurt, so I couldn't really hoof that much. You know, the sidewalks and all this. And all the times I've been to Paris, I've got lots of shots outside the Louvre, but not inside, not been in there. So this time I mean, it's so fucking huge, right? But I put maybe, I don't know, 9-10 hours in it.
Wow.
And still, you know, a lot was lacking. But I saw all the Italian Renaissance, and I didn't run through, well, because of the bum wheel, for one thing, but
no
I just wanted to keep, there were some, but not a lot. There's like, I think I got 3 floors, lower ground, first, second, so 4 floors. But I didn't hit every floor of it. And then there's 3 big wings. Devon, Sully, Richelieu. So what I did was keep within certain studies. Okay, so first I just looked at, you know, of course you guys see the Mona Lisa, okay? So I decided I'm going to see Italian Renaissance, since that's part of that. And man, I was just lucky because there's a fucking huge crowd, right? But I was just turning the corner as they opened the gate. With a big old line there, and I didn't bum rush, they just said go. So I was at the head of the thing, and I got to stand at the rail. They got her on a wall, and there's different rooms and stuff, and the room she's in is got a wall inside the room, right in the middle, so she's just there with a big thick glass in front of her. But even with that thick glass, it's still so much different than a picture.
How is it different?
Well, for one thing, what struck me that I'd never seen before, I looked at her for like a half hour, just steady. And that, it's good they put her in a wall with nothing around it, because nothing competes. It's just her. It's about this, maybe 3 feet high. Well,
okay.
Not the biggest thing. They got some biggies in there, the Davids and that stuff. You know, you can see where Stalin got his socialist realism thing from, because there's political art those days. Well, I guess it's always been a lot of ways with some stuff, especially big things, maybe with the Egyptians too. I got to them later, but what I saw in the Mona Lisa, as I was watching her, I just took away all her face, her mouth, her hair, the background, her nose even, and just her eyes. And they were just like a lot of pictures I got of John Coltrane. She had John Coltrane's eyes.
Wow.
I never saw that. I mean, I totally. I'm not kidding you. In my mind. And then he had a portrait. They had, outside, they had about 8 Da Vinci's in a longer hall. And there's a portrait of St. John, you know? And it's the same eyes.
Yeah.
So, some people, there's an argument that she's actually a self-portrait of him. But what's the trip is, right, the Feast of Cana is right behind. So when you turn around, there's this huge ass thing that's like, gosh, I don't know, 50 feet, like 30 feet or 20 feet.
Wow.
And, I mean, this giant, he had to have dudes. He sketched it. Name. Some Italian dude.
Okay.
Some of the V. I can't think of it right now. But he sketched it out, but he had to have helpers paint it because they needed the thing quick. It's a big old chow, you know, and then Jesus is in the middle. It's a trip.
So the dude's like my size?
Yeah, I think they are. And it's Italian, so a Renaissance, so it's all yellows and oranges and bright colors. It's really beautiful. I went all those I could say. I mean, there's a lot of, those days they had to paint a lot in Old Testament stories and this, you know, a lot of religion. And so there's some tired ass stories, but because these artists brought their thing to it, man, they weren't so tired, even though the themes, and you could feel for all this. There was one was the death of Mary. You don't see this a lot. It's always Jesus. Yeah. But there was one of death of Mary. There was a lot of things that made me feel. And like I said, I didn't run through it. I took my time looking and letting the things work on me. Then I went and I wanted to search for a Bosch. Because I remembered somewhere that there was at least some. And there was one. And so I went to the Dutch thing. And their Dutch thing ain't that huge, Flemish stuff, and I found the Ship of Fools, and it was good because there was hardly anybody there. Worst thing, this happened to me a couple days later when I went to Darcy, because the Louvre cuts off right before the Impressionists, huh? And so all that Monet, Manet, Renoir, Degas, all that, that's in this other thing where they converted a train station. And that was packed, man. And that was a way different, more experience. And they had, there was an exhibition going on with about 20 Van Goghs. If you added to their collection, they had a lot. They had two of the self-portraits, one with all the different colors. They look like almost face scruff. It's really trippy. You know, Vincent's stuff is so beautiful. He's got one portrait of a friend where he's got the folds in the eyes, not in the corners. He's got them at the tops of the eyelids. And it made such a... He was econo with the strokes. Yeah, the gobs. But even if he wasn't gobbing, he was econo with the strokes. He only used enough strokes. It's like a good blues lick or something. Not so much a fusion. You know? It's just the right amount of notes, man. Vincent. Kind. And then some Picasso's before he was the cutie kind of thing. A whole bunch of stuff. You know, I'm ignorant a lot about... I'm still trying to learn a lot about it, but to witness his stuff up there. But back to the Louvre trip, after the Bosch, I went and I saw the big French stuff, like the raft of the Medusa, all them dudes on that raft that's singing. You've seen it. Liberty, right? There's a, she's got the French flag and the boys next to her with the things, business. Her shirt's off. And Napoleon crowning himself, and really intense stuff, man. I mean, gigantic, but just something about Dante, Delacroix doing Dante and Virgil in the boat with Charon. That was wild. Then I went over to Egypt part, and they got huge Egypt things, and seeing all that, you know, a lot of the Aryan things and monuments and all this, just their hieroglyphs. Wow, I was just caught up in all that, the funeraries and weird, trippy. And then I went saw the Greek and Roman sculptures, the Winged Victory, Venus de Milo, which is actually Aphrodite. There's no arms. Right. Victory's got no head. They broke off. They weren't made that way. And their stuff is beautiful too. Incredible. The three fates. Wild stuff. Even some of those bosses' heads, Caesars and stuff. It just incredible. And then I finished up with Islam art, which was not a lot of faces. It was more. Designs, geometric things, and tile and rug, and then I, because it was a Friday, it stays open later. And then I went and saw Jim Morrison's grave. I don't go to any graves, you know. I remember one time with Jay, we went and somebody pointed us to the wrong graveyard. You know, so it was fruitless on that or something. But whatever, I found out the real one, and my friend, Doug Rock, and my doctor friend, Memphis, was in town, and we went there, and it was the 36th anniversary of him dying.
So they had around?
We were there about, it was raining pretty intense. That's why, that day is when I went to the Darcy Museum, because the rain was so heavy, and it kind of let up some. And it's in the more eastern part of town. We used the metro. It's really great, this underground train thing they got there. And there's about 20 people when we were there. I was singing some of his songs and stuff. People looking at me. You know. There were pictures. There was incense burning. Kind of a simple thing. I guess there used to be a bus to him, but somebody stole it. And there was cops guarding and stuff. And day before was a lot of sun. And I went to the top of the Eiffel Tower. And I got vertigo. It was kind of scary for me. But the view there, I mean, the Sacré-Cœur church, you know, doesn't even look like it's on a hill. It's intense. You go up one elevator at an angle, story one, and then get to the middle section, one takes you up to the top. And you can look through windows or get on top of that, and it's all caged in. And kind of had to have my back on the bulkhead because it's vertigo, kind of scary, but you see everything. Oh man. And then I got my nerve up halfway going down where that other elevator is before the angle. I walked down a pillar, the stairs, and they got switchbacks, and they're all caged in, and I just held the rail. And that was and another adventure was Notre Dame. I spent a lot of time inside, but it was too crowded. There's a lot of tourists, and the sun was out bright. And so, but I spent all the time on the outside where people weren't really looking, you know, them gargoyles and
Quasimodos and
all those kinds, yeah, flying buttresses, just the way that thing is made up. And that's on an island called City. It's in the middle of the Seine there. And there was a big market just of birds, you know, parrots and parakeet, cockatoos, all these exotic things. Wild colors. Orange, yellow with big white rings around their eyes. It was a trip. I just got into the stuff like that. You know, I just took my time and didn't try to cover as much ground as maybe I usually would want. So, but it was intense. And then the Paris gig itself was pretty wild. Played like some Palais de Sports. It was like some arena thing. And the French folks really dig Les Stooges, man. And Iggy was giving it all. Well, intense gig. It's really, they all were. They were all really good. The one in England, well, there was two in England. There was one in London across the river from what everybody knows. Southwark, I think they call it. And that was the first one. I was scared more than any of the other ones there. I was scared out of all of them, but this one especially, because it's first, always the first one of the run. It's hard. How's it time?
We're at 10 more.
Sorry to spiel so much, but folks want to know this. And it was weird too, man. It was all seats in that big angle, like almost like an IMAX theater, the fucking thing. And I mean, a lot of this is in my tour spiel on the Who page. Yeah.
Were they all?
I remember, but it was a trip. No, this was our. It was part of a thing, a festival, but it was not all in one night. It's a bunch of nights, and some man who introduced us. Tall man, England man though, and he curated it. So it's sort of like the All Tomorrow Party, but it's called Meltdown. And there was only a band before us, a lady named Scout, and a drummer. England, young English people. And the thing about the gig though was kind of after the paper, some rag, you know, City thing or whatever, Fleet Street, right? Said we were all old and shit. Said I was using the amps to prop myself up, and I was a gray beard. All this, whatever, you know. Elvin Jones played, you know, up to 2 weeks before he died, right? 70 to 75. What the fuck? You said it's supposed to stop? And this guy said he said the Saw the Stooges in the old days, so he must be old too. I mean, yeah. What the fuck? What's he start, gotta stop writing?
Yeah, the question is how old you are, the question is do you rock?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, but the Glastonbury was a different thing. Now, that was a big festival, and there was a lot of bands, and a lot of their bands, not a lot of U.S. bands, a lot of England. And it was a thing in the 70, from the 70s that was like a hippie festival. So they had a lot of things going on. But it was raining like crazy, and the mud was like intense. And I didn't have big boots, and so I couldn't really see any bands. I was scared of slipping and hurting my knee. My knee was really swollen then. But the gig was wild. You know, the stage part where Ig asked people come on with us and no fun and real cool time. I thought it was going to be all tiny, you know, and some guy band comes up with their banner, puts it out. It's like, oh, man. But then all of a sudden, something popped and there was like a couple hundred people on the stage. And they're all muddy. They're hugging on me and my band kisses a lot of Flintstone. And I'm not shaving now, and obviously a lot of them weren't shaving either. One lady tried to kiss me, grabbed my head. You know, I'm playing, so I can't, you know.
You're kissing people.
No, I can't guard my head. Sort of like people spit and you're singing and you can't, they go in your mouth. So I'm playing, so she's grabbing my head and turning it on her, and the tongue's going on me. I wouldn't open my mouth, though. Now, the guys, they don't do that shit.
Thank God.
But I got real muddy all over. And then I'm hugging. I didn't do mad. This bass guy all full of mud. The mother's on the strings, the little bass is all. And Chris, you know, upper man guy with us, a beautiful man from Detroit, he cleaned her all up. I couldn't believe it. I mean, when I went to tune her after No Fun, I mean, it was just hunks of mud hanging on her. Mud all over. Like, there was no more tone in the string. It was boom. And we took a plane. We didn't do a commercial thing. We had to take a private plane. So there was a couple flights of that on this tour to Poland. Right after, and I was all muddy, you know. So I didn't want to get that nice jet. It was like Falcon to Salt. And he's going to take off. And so I put on the djembe. I got the djembe in the mail a week or two before the tour, and it ended up being righteous tour clothes. I love it. I mean, I wore the boiler suit at the gigs, but when I wasn't playing the gigs, Poland, it was my first time there, and the town we played was actually not that wrecked. It was close to Germany, and I think it even belonged to them. They trade because border thing.
Lithuanian borders.
Yeah, and so it was like old days more, but Warsaw was hardly anything left. I think 99 out of 10 buildings. Went to the Uprising Museum, and that was intense. The communists built a big culture palace in the middle of town, and there's not really a lot of hills. You see the whole thing from the top. I went to the top of that. These cats, Agnes and Wako, went and Woja. Or Woja. The W's are like V's. Yeah, Warsaw is really Warszawa.
Like Valenza.
Their thing is not like it's spelled, you know. But a lot of the history. Some sadness, you know, but in some ways, resilient people, survival, and a lot of things mixed because they're in between all this stuff. So a lot of things came. It was an interesting thing for me to see the town. I wish I could have spent some more time with them. Beautiful, and them too, people. It's really neat. I'd like to go back. You know, all these lands, even the ones I've been to a lot, man, you just never get it all in. And then back to France. So the first time, I skipped that, but played Blah. Yeah, B-O-L-I-S, okay, Bola. And it was 10 kings lived there. And me and Steve McKay got given a tour. We got to see this thing. It was different wings of it built in different regimes. And we actually played in the courtyard. They took us to a room where De Guise and his brother, who was a cardinal at the time, were murdered, and the whole deal between that with Henry II kind of had his guards do it and waited until he was on the deck and then touched him in the face with the sword and, whoa, you look bigger dead, you know. This guy was quite a dandy. I mean, they're all dandies, but this was dandier. But there were some Italian wives, some Medici's married into some of these families, and so there's the arts brought in. It's pretty wild ass. So this castle was neat. It wasn't so much like a military. It was a king house, you know. And I guess this was in the 1500s. There's a lot of wars over religion, Protestant and Catholic. And so maybe they wanted to be out of Paris. So by there was a thing. So that was an interesting pad to be on. Just from like, whoa, I've never been to something like this. And then Greece, a third time in Athens. And it was a baseball field built for the Olympics.
Oh.
Don't get used much, you know, Greece. Europe dudes don't play baseball. So it's on this kind of deserted thing. It used to be a former airport before the Olympics because they built a new one of them for that. It got hit. Last song of the thing, it gets hit with a bottle of water that's been iced.
Oh.
So it hits him above the left eye and busts it open like a box of blood everywhere. But he did the song. He said, fuck it. You can't kill me. I'm immortal.
Oh, man.
It's great, man. I mean, the Greek dudes were happening, okay? There's a lot of shit getting... I got hit with a few lighters and shit. I dodged most of the stuff flying up. I could see it. You know, even though I'm watching him, most of the shit's flying at him. So it's kind of easy to keep track of the shit. It wasn't really directed at me. And they were really digging it, too. It was just their way. Money Mark wrote me an email a couple weeks before they played there in a full-on riot. I think it was a war between security... things or something, like machetes and torches and shit, and cars got burned. We didn't have anything like that. Wow. The Greek people are really great to play for. All these audiences, incredible. It's really dry, hot. In fact, so sweaty still because of the temperature, but like the Mojave here, you know, so when you sweat it, it would just dry it out. You know. And then the last gig was Israel, Tel Aviv. And first time for me there, and it was nothing like I thought because of the television and all this. And it's right on the beach there, Mediterranean Sea. The night before the gig, I saw Steve McKay play with three Israeli musicians in Jaffa. Trippiest club. It was in a parking structure. Bottom of the parking structure next to some old man karaoke bar. Yeah. And it was excellent acoustics and stuff. And like almost like a school thing, avant-garde music. Oh, yeah, we're coming up. Well, I should be able to enough here. Pete brought some music, so we'll play that next hour. This is in the first hour of the Wap for Pedro show, July 10th, 2007 edition. Hope tight for hour two. July 10th, 2007. It's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro show.
I'm say may want to come and take them away. Can't we say these lonelies for another day? No, you're probably too busy putting everyone to bed. Could you just come here? Unlucky, I ate all the pills down. Nine is
minutes pass. Look at the teens, I am not 13. 14 is a very long time.
Alexandra Hope with Numbers. We had Rush by the Girls. Not the Girls by Pete's favorite band, Rush.
Okay. Now,
what's the story with Rush?
What is the story with Rush? I love them. That's how I got into music 20 years ago. Is it 20 years ago? Yeah.
It was Rush's fault.
Yes, that's how it all started to go downhill. So I'm sorry, I just always but I do make a point of bringing them up because they are on tour now, and I'm just excited. Yes, as many as I can, as many shows as I can.
Who's your favorite one in the band?
You know, everybody has different attributes, so
you like them all, for different reasons.
Exactly, and I guess that's.
I got to meet one of them.
Alex, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one that people would meet.
Craig Paul
Williams.
Is that Vinny Vegas? Let me look. This your talk.
Yeah, usually when you hear the dingle like that, it's what peddling by in the morning.
Oh.
But this is the afternoon, so the jingle's totally out of place, yeah.
You actually wake up to hear that early?
Sometimes I'll hear the jingle cruising by in the morning.
Nobody's out there.
No?
Maybe we were hearing things.
One time I was in Tijuana, and the guy who cooks the hot dog with the bacon had a little dingler on it, and I was walking. I thought it was coming up behind me on the bike.
In Tijuana.
I took a new bell because I took a spill right before this leg of touring. Took the boat in to get her oil switched. And PCH is not a bike-friendly route there in Lomas. And there was, the gutters were filled there. Washing or whatever, and so slime was built up in it. Maybe it rained the night before. And I slid up and I jumped off instinctively. I jumped off the bike to the sidewalk because the cars are right on you, it's narrow. And I froze for a sec. I didn't pull the bike off with me, up with me. And somebody hit it.
Oh,
mashed the bell.
Just got
the bell down. Mashed the gear changer, but it's still workable. Yeah, it's fucked up. Sad. But she's still in the race. So look, let's get back to this Rush.
Okay. I don't know what to say. I wasn't prepared to talk about them.
You feel strongly for them now than you did then?
Well,
some things you grow out of.
Sure. But, you know, right now I just respect them for virtue. You know, like some people are still rocking. And gotta give them for that. And I respect, you know, sometimes bands over the time they change directions and style of music and I think they've changed a lot. I regret to say that I haven't heard the new album, but I heard.
How many times have you seen them?
I've seen them maybe 5-6 times.
I saw them once in the '70s because my buddy Tony was into them a lot.
Some would say that was.
And it was an opera.
It was Vinny Vegas.
Vinny Vegas.
Hello.
That was from England.
Yeah, it's England.
It is Pete Vinny.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Look, there's a get on this couch thing here.
And just pedal on myself.
You can scream on that microphone.
Yeah, cool.
We're just about to get into the spin cycle, but Pete is telling us about her long music relationship with the band Rush.
Okay, I'm ready.
Get over there. Were you into Rush?
Yeah, I liked Rush, you know.
Liked.
No, not that I don't like. I even think some of their weird stuff in the early 90s is pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
I like prog.
Yeah.
No, but what about Rush?
I don't even know what's happening. Are we on the radio right now?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Rush. I had my bass, my 1974 Rickenbacker.
Yeah.
And my first bass lesson. I want to learn Rush. I want to learn Rush. Actually, second bass lesson. First
me
was
too.
So we did YYZ, and it took me 6 months to learn it and about 3 weeks to forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because how many people are in Rush?
In fact,
three. Getty, Neil, and...
Okay. Because of that, and since Minutemen and the later Pharaohs were trios... I'd always get asked Rush questions.
Oh, just because you're a trio cat?
Yeah. But because things had switched, because who's the ultimate trio, rock trio? Cream and Hendrix, right?
Sure.
It ain't Rush. It's just where rock went. Because they never had the popularity as, you know, rock and roll was in arenas in the 60s.
Johnny Cash had the Tennessee too. That's three.
Rock trio, I thought.
Well, not rock trio, my.
Yeah, and you know what? Les Paul told me about having a trio behind Bing Crosby. He ran the trio for Bing Crosby.
There's
a rock. Trios go back. I think Nat King Cole had a trio. I mean, trios go back.
I saw Tony Bennett with Sammy Davis Jr.'s drummer and a piano player.
Speaking of trios, what do you call the middleman?
The middleman?
Lucky Pierre. Socket man. All right.
Oh, shit.
And we started off the second hour with I Feel the Miles by Amelia June. Now, you picked that, Pete.
Yeah.
It didn't sound like Rush.
I went for the anti-rock. Singer-songwriter.
So Rush is the pro-rock.
Yeah.
Where's she from?
I'm just kidding. She's from here. She's going to school in the East Coast. We became friends over a recording session that another friend invited me over to take a picture of her recording. And I just fell in love with her vibe, her song. It's just her. She's like the sweetest 21-year-old. She's turned 21. And she'd have all this fire about music and just the love of arts and photography. And it's just, she's just the most adorable person I've met lately. So, and that song is actually, you know, one of my favorites of hers. And it's, and well, I listen to it when I feel sad. And somehow that's very helpful. So, anyways, back
on the 4th of July, I was in Athens.
Yeah.
And there's a Perubu song called Chinese Radiation. It made me really sad. I thought of D. Boone a lot.
Because
I remember us seeing them in the 70s when they first came to play the Whiskey. They played that song, and I hadn't heard it for a long time. I remember talking to Tony about it on that phone interview. But then, because of the way the iPod's alphabetical, Chinese Radiation was right next to Chimes of Freedom, Bob Dylan. So I played that, and that I hadn't heard that since a long time. And it's so weird of a song, you know, in a way. And I had good memory in a way. I had a good one of that one too. If it's his head, when I think of Deep Blue, sometimes they're really heavy. And that song is weird. The way they bring in all the people clapping it. You know what I mean? This song. Have you ever heard this?
No.
Actually, the album, I think it's 31 years old now.
Wow.
It's called The Modern Dance.
Hmm.
I remember that album. It was a trip, you know? I think it was like the same week Boston came out or something. Marquee Moon. Too. Maybe it was a little after that. Marquee Moon for sure was the same month. The television album, and these guys sitting in little chairs next to these tiny Fender amps, and then there's this, I guess, the city on the back of a guitar spaceship flying. Is that the Boston album cover?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's a UFO or whatever.
It's like the city of Boston on the back of a guitar that's turned into a UFO spaceship. There was a lot of that. I think ELO's was like spaceships. And Journey had like a cherub spaceship.
That was a bad period.
Okay. It's time for the spin cycle. Brother Matt.
Brother Matt.
I turned it to wave. So
Oh, it's a man's world. In a roving band through Monkey Town, among the rocks, along the sandy roads, this morning on Police Rock, all afternoon in the trees, green leaves and acacia beans, cactus, fruit, flowers. Yeah.
out on the corner. You look so pale. Your ghost is wandering home. But oh, baby, it's all right to fail.
Shut up. She can't go. He is there. He is here. She can't go. He is there.
That was Act Two by Delilah. And before that, we had Cat Power with It's All Right to Fall. Nag Champa added that with from the band Brother Man Dude. Then he's got a band called It's Raining Men.
No, but I wanted to. Everyone shut it down.
Oh. Like,
I got to do it.
Well, he had dreams of...
And I wanted to spell it, you know, R-E-I-G-H-I-N-G.
That's the big league. Okay, and then we had Home and Garden with Monkey Town. And all that was after Brother Matt's spin cycle. Very good spinach, Brother Matt. Much respect. Home and Garden with Scott Krause, the drummer of Para Ubu's band, with his son singing. So you know punk is old when your boy is the lead singer.
Dad, Rick Agnew's
kid. And not a teenager, okay?
Rick Agnew's kid played at Harold's on the 4th or the 5th.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Rick was in that adolescence with his brother Jeff.
Yeah, I think his brother, he had a brother Frank.
Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
Frank Agnew.
And there's another one too.
Frank Agnew.
Another Agnew that was
Tony,
in
Tony.
Kadena.
And Steve Soto.
Please,
and Casey.
Royer.
Who made his own band.
D.I.
Right.
With another Agnew.
That's right.
That was in the adolescence.
That's
the
right,
third Agnew.
Another brother, the whole Fullerton.
Alfie or something.
I think that's where they were from. Fullerton
Orange
or
County.
Something. Yeah. Okay, we have enough Orange County by the water. The one by Disneyland.
Yeah.
The inland. Okay, that's the end of the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Hold tight for July 10, 2007 edition. Hold tight for hour three. July 10, 2007. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show, and here's part two. Now, I'm sorry. Last 2 weeks, I didn't have it with me in Europe, so there's a gap between part one and part two of 2 weeks. Not
back.
2 weeks. Two shows, because it's actually more than 2 weeks. I can only do it when I get to it, so... Here's part two of Jack Flanders' Tropical Hot Dog Night.
If that fog turns out to be a giant jellyfish, then what?
Ow, ow! And those things can sting.
Oh, Dominique, don't worry. It's not going to eat you.
How do you know?
It'll eat us, and then use you as a toothpick.
Oh, your skinny jokes are so clever.
Jack, if we have to leave, can we sail out of here tonight?
I'd rather not.
Why don't we leave now?
Don't you want to see what's here?
Oh, she doesn't want to wind up as a toothpick.
Oh, Jack.
All right, look. If this fog is as weird as Mojo feels it is, we'll just retreat to the boat.
We don't want to get separated.
Well, I just happen to have come prepared. See what I have here.
Are those the walkie-talkies we had on the Ghost Island?
All powered up and ready to go.
Ah. Well, look, why don't we just split up? Claudine and I will check out this end of town, and you and Dominique can check out the other end.
Sounds good.
But keep in contact, all right?
Will do.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
You know, I'm beginning to feel maybe we should have set out of here before it got dark.
Because the monster may get you?
Listen, I don't want to fool with it. Not if it can fool with me.
Are you afraid of your shadow, Mojo?
If I've learned anything is never turn your back on your shadow.
Or are you afraid of the monster that may be lurking within the Mojo?
I know. You're just trying to get even because I was making fun of you when you were so scared back on the Ghost Island.
You were very crude.
I didn't mean to be.
But you were.
I couldn't resist.
I was very hurt.
Well, okay, I'm sorry about that.
Is that an apology?
Yes, it is.
Well then, your apology, I do not accept.
Oh, what do I have to do?
Grovel.
What?
Let me see you grovel.
Oh, man.
Come on, grovel. Don't you know how to grovel?
My mama used to say, Mojo, your ancestors did enough groveling, so don't you ever grovel.
You're forgiven.
Mojo.
I'm here.
See anything odd?
I've never been here before, so I don't know what's odd and what's not.
I mean, have you sensed anything?
I got the feeling people here are anticipating, expecting something.
Have you noticed that there are people who are dressed rather, you know, retro?
Dressed retro?
Yeah, sort of 40s fashion.
I wondered about that. I didn't notice it earlier.
There's a cafe across the street. I'm going to find someone to talk to.
Who was that?
I guess we're stopping at a cafe.
Okay. Keep in touch. I'll check in later. Ciao.
Salut.
Claudine, Mojo has the feeling people are anticipating something. Do you feel anything is wrong?
It's not that I feel something is wrong here. I feel something is wrong with me.
Oh. Do you want to leave?
No. Why would I want to leave?
Well, I thought you weren't feeling well.
That is not what I said.
Okay.
Oh, Jack. I'm sorry. I'm all right.
You're sure?
Yes. Oh, there's a bookshop. Let's see what they have.
Johnny Sevens, The Private Eye, new and used books and DVDs.
Have you worked here long?
Less than a year.
You're from the States?
That's right.
Where?
Chicago. I'll get you a drink.
This seems like a nice place to live.
But something isn't right.
Maybe this is paradise. And we're so jaded, we can't see it.
Is this paradise?
Well, if you find a nice place with nice weather, nice people, and they're happy, man, that's paradise.
Mojo, are you forgetting that this place has a monster?
Here you go, iced tea and your cappuccino.
What is your name?
Danny.
What do you do here at night?
I play.
What do you play?
I play at having fun.
I've been noticing people showing up all dressed like out of some other time.
It cools down at night and people like to dress up.
But why do they look like they stepped out of some 1940s movie?
Stay around. You'll see. If you need anything more, just wave.
Stay around. You'll see? What will we see?
I guess we'll see.
Looking for something special?
Oh, no, just browsing.
I'm Johnny. Johnny Seven.
Jack Flanders. Good to meet you.
Are all the books you have only detective stories?
Crime, mystery, cops and robbers, spies and swindlers, heists and scams, gamblers and gold diggers, and suckers waiting to be fleeced.
Is there much of a demand for that here?
There is.
And you rent videos too?
That's right. I got the best selection in the Caribbean and in the Caribbean.
Jack, have you seen what they have here?
No. Let's see. Wow. I have never seen such a complete collection of film noir.
Are they all in black and white?
Just about all. That's how they made them.
Without color?
No color, but beautiful shadows and light.
You know, I didn't know they had re-released so many of these old 40s and 50s film noir.
They're a favorite around here.
Apparently.
Do you not carry other films?
Like what?
Les Enfants Terribles.
No, nothing like that.
Oh, that's a great film.
And it is black and white.
Yeah.
But I got Laid Dead End Kids.
Laid Dead End Kids?
I think that is not the same as Les Enfants Terribles.
Suit yourself, sister.
Sister? He called me sister.
Well, Mr. Seven is speaking in the vernacular of the idiom.
Sister.
Well, at least he didn't call you doll.
Do I look like a doll?
Depends.
Well, this doll is ready to leave.
Whatever you say, sweetheart.
Jack, you there?
Hang on. It's Mojo. Yeah, what's up?
The fog is just starting to creep in.
Anything happening?
Not that I can tell. But it's kind of strange stuff.
What do you mean?
It just feels a little different. Where are you?
Claudine and I are in a bookstore. It's called The Private Eye. And the proprietor's name is... Are you ready? Johnny Seven.
Johnny Seven?
Yeah. The bookstore is all mysteries, cops and robbers, hard-boiled detectives, that sort of thing. Where are you?
Well, we're sitting out here at a sidewalk cafe. The Fat Pink Pussycat.
Mojo, say that again.
The Fat Pink Pussycat? Why, did I say it funny?
No.
I'm just imagining you leaning against the sign that actually says The Fat Pink Pussycat.
Yeah, well, it was Dominique that wanted to stop here, not me.
So, nothing's happening?
Well, it seemed like, you know, a normal kind of tourist place. And then I started noticing people seem a little distracted, like they were expecting something.
But there's really no change.
Well, Dominique got one of the waiters talking about living here. He wasn't saying much, but when the fog started creeping in, he started opening up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show. Okay, we start the third hour off with part two, Jack Flanders and Tropical Hot Dog Night. Jack, another adventure. Then we went to Position Normal with Cardboard. Then River Gregorian with 17/8. That was a drummer, Jer. Oh, yeah. Just joining us now is Jerry Trepetich, original Suckin' Men drummer.
Hi-de-ho.
Before that, he was a Madonna Bee, not original drummer, but somebody that helped me out in a time of need. And then he helped me out with Tom Watson in the John and Terry show.
That too.
And I think that was his first national tour. Yeah. You're really thumping the mic there, Battleship. So maybe back up a little.
I'm like 9 feet from the mic.
Yeah, well.
You got it all hot. I don't know what you're doing over there.
Because Pink has got a tiny voice.
Oh, okay, okay.
She was all shamed
about. I'm a loud mouth, I get it.
Her previous appearance, right, Pink?
Yeah.
She said she heard the show and was astonished by her bigness. And our shininess.
She was in the background.
Right.
Hey,
she was all up front and center.
Can I remind you, you're going to tell me something about photography? Something?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you were going to talk about something that, when we checked that out, you said you were going to talk about some photography.
Oh, we were talking because they used one of my pictures from paddling. For what is that? The year
the graduation program.
Graduation thing.
Yeah.
They used one of my shots of the Angel Gate Lighthouse, which is automated now. But it was Raymond's birthday on Bloomsday. So it went to some ponies, and after that, there was a chow. You know, the art world is a different dynamic, you know. You have these, like, patron people, right? Folks who've made a lot of money, and now they wanted to collect art. And this cat from Michigan, he lives out here now, tall man named Tom, he took us to chow. And Raymond starts telling him about my pictures. So, you know, send me some mic, you know. So I floated to him. Sun rises, you know, and it's... And now he's got galleries at the gallery at the Bergamot Station, you know, this in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
The old train station. He wants me to have a show.
Oh, right.
Of my yeah. I don't know. You know, I just point the camera and click it.
Man, lots of pelicans.
Pelicans, sunrises, all that. That's why I float them, okay? Yeah, my morning shit,
morning
right?
Harbor stuff.
And he's in it. Whatever, we'll see what comes of that. If you want to know about that, Pink. Now, Pink, you picked a song we're going to play next by a band called the Budos Band. It's called T-I-B-W-F. Now, first off, what does Budos Band mean? Is there a guy named Budo?
I don't think so. I just met this guy last weekend. Went to see him play in San Francisco. And just like the vibe. I don't know much about them. They're from the East Coast. Staten Island.
That's where they used to put all the garbage from Manhattan.
Yeah, from
now it's a lot of landfill. Yeah. Look, the pipa makes noise when you slam it on the mic, okay?
No.
Jared, not to be heavy on you.
Fully on.
I got the... yeah,
where's my doily? Don't I usually get a doily right here?
Look, you got to calm down the battleship voice.
My special
there.
Doily.
You're booming out the mic.
Monogrammed.
Right. And then you got your mouth full. It's hard to talk.
Yeah.
No, just be a little calm. It's okay. If you can shout it, it'll be fine dynamic. But so you don't know what this TIBWF means then?
No, I haven't researched.
Okay. So we're going to play it too. I mean, you get the pictures, right? You guys get the flow in the email.
Yeah.
I don't see it hanging up on your walls.
I printed one. You took a close-up of a seagull. Like, the head was, like, right there.
That was in Seattle. Yeah, he came right up to me in the window.
Printed. That one hangs at work?
Yeah. That was a trip. Just came right up on me like that.
I didn't know if he had a zoom or something.
No.
How he got so close.
It was right on me.
Wow.
With Chow, waiting for the Chow after the gig at it was a convention center between, they built a football and a baseball now in Seattle next to each other, and this was a convention center right in between. Yeah, they imploded the old thing. It looked like a giant kind of Mac burger or whatever. Puck. They imploded that thing, and they built these new, and it's got retractable, I think the largest retractable roofs.
I think it's partially kind of like Dallas.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was told. It was an intense gig, you know. It was like this convention center, sort of like the Tel Aviv gig, where you're playing a big empty box. And there was a big aluminum pole on the side. And, you know, they had curtains, like, kind of channeling it off. And he was bumming on this. So he pulls up this big old pipe. Now, it was hollow and aluminum, you know. But it was like 20 feet, maybe about 13 feet high, 12 feet high. And so he's, it looked like Hollywood or something, you know, to see this man with this giant pole and swinging it like that. How? Because it was hollow and aluminum. But, I mean, to see that, it was like, man, what is this guy, Hercules? It was an intense moment. And it was all just impromptu on the moment like that. And that was a wild gig. That was the last gig of the U.S. tour. So Budo's band.
Yes.
So where'd you see him? In San Francisco?
Yeah.
Where?
The Boom Boom Room.
Oh, yeah.
The 10 guys in the band.
Damn.
3 on horns and 1 on keys and congas and
percussion. I played the Boom Boom Room.
Yeah,
is that? Canyon, huh?
I don't know if you did. You were at Red Devil's
Lounge there and the Elbow Room, and I played a lot of pads up there with Banyan that I don't usually play.
Ah.
It's Willie conjures that up somehow. Last Banyan gig I did was at John Anson Ford Theater. It's an outdoor thing by the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, I've been there before.
And,
that's a cool place.
Yeah, one time I did a gig there with with Firehose, and Mel Torme was at the bowl and said we were too loud, so made us stop. And Gary Tovar, it was a Goldmore show, he hands me a 12-string guitar. He says, because the kids started yelling and screaming because there's no more music. He says, you keep these kids quiet. I can't really play that well a guitar, you know.
Yeah,
it's got 12 strings.
Jesus.
I went for it, and me and Ed were just
shine the finger picking on that one.
Georgia, I think, played Alabama Sausage Whistle.
Love that sausage.
And somehow we got through the gig. I think it was with the Meat Puppets.
Yeah.
A while ago. The Meat Puppets are back.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. They found the missing brother.
He's missing. Everybody knows where he was. Jail.
He's
doing really well.
Yeah.
They only have Boston on drums. They have a cat from New York named Ted, but he does pretty good.
Oh, really? So it's not the original guys, but the two brothers.
Hey, who are you playing with?
I'm playing right now with a band called Fat 20 here in Pedro with a couple friends. My friend Ed Reese used to be in Vent, local punk rock band around
Marty
here.
Marty Katz
and Ed. But
Marty's in New Orleans.
He must have moved out of town. I haven't seen him in a long time.
No, he called me from there.
Is he living there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
About a year now.
I haven't seen him in a while. I used to do
he's
all the punk rock
gigs.
Shows around
he's
here.
Putting them on.
He's doing them down there?
Yeah.
Shim Sham.
Oh.
You know, remember Shim Sham? The morgue.
So you're just doing Fat 20. You're not playing with the family?
I started playing with Adam Gaxiola.
What about the family?
No. I started playing in a band with Adam Gaxiola.
What's that? Adam Gaxiola is a crane operator who has a practice pad next to mine.
Right next door to you, yeah. And I'm playing with him and his bass player from Chingus Dominguez, Char, and Char.
Yeah, what's it called?
Right now he's calling it Beacon Street Orchestra, so I'm trying to get rid of that. I don't really like it.
Why?
I don't know.
Beacon Street's an old famous street here in Pedro. It used to be actually the most west street.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen pictures of it when it was dirt. Like, nobody lived up here. This was like the hill.
No, it was like a rancho up here. But
nobody was up here.
But in the old days, that's where all the bars were.
Nanny's grandpa, the Rolling Girls,
yeah.
Their grandpa was one of the first cats to build a house up here.
So he had like, he had the land and he had the view. He probably found a nice little spot up there.
But so the whole town used to be Beacon and then to the water.
Sam's Alhambra used to be in
Beacon. Beacon Street now, it's got the old post office. It's got the Elks Club, which is a halfway home.
City Hall.
It's got the old City Hall, right?
Beacon House, which is a halfway house.
Right. Yeah. All the Siemens centers were there, and most of those have been converted to halfway houses.
Awesome. Oldest water fountain in San Pedro.
Yeah, they found it,
and they re-put it back up.
Right.
Where was it hiding?
Water. They had it under some rubble stuff.
Oh, no kidding.
It was really important because there was hardly any fresh water in Pedro because the way we were situated. Wilmington had it all, but it didn't reach here, so there was a lot of barracho.
Beacon Street was the bar strip down there during the war days, and that's where a lot of the sailors would get into their fights.
One of the wildest strips on the coast.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
During the war, it was averaging a murder a night. It was the most dangerous city in the country, if you can believe that.
The sailors killing each other down there, Navy, Army, they didn't get along.
No, mainly it was Merchant Marine.
Yeah, but there was also a lot of regular
Navy
Marine
was
there.
More in Terminal Island. Over here was more Merchant Marine.
Well, there's an army base right here as well. You know,
I know, but the sailor thing was more merchant. That's why you see that memorial there.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of the greatest memorials. The guy's coming down a rope to save the other guy.
Now, what about the big gun?
Whoever brought that fucking thing.
What's the gun have to do?
Oh, God, I don't know.
You know.
Hey, but look, here's an important question. Which guy would you rather be in that memorial?
The guy going up the ladder because I'm getting out of the water. I don't know. I mean, what's the other guy?
I want to be the guy coming down to get him.
I'd like to be the guy getting it because I would have this sense of life.
You would like to be the guy getting it.
Moskwa! Wielkie dzięki! Moskwa na przystanku Woodstock!
Pedro show. Turn that down, Watt. Pinky picked that song there. That was Bill Laswell and King Tubby doing Procession.
African dub version.
Yeah, the African dub version. What's the other version?
I don't know.
Julie Andrews said it. Barbra Streisand.
I just liked it, so I brought it.
Judy Garland.
Yeah.
Show tunes.
Yeah.
One time I played a gig. It was a Banyan gig at the Troubadour, and it was opening up for a band that Bill Laswell was in. I think it was Buckethead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who was it? Praxis or something?
Praxis.
Oh, I remember that.
And amazing.
And
we kind of
had a good gig.
There.
They got all Baracho, I remember. What was the freaky thing was, not all of them, but the DJ guy did. He destroyed all his equipment, but... But the freakiest thing about that gig was Buckethead, you know, wears this little, like, New Orleans porcelain mask, you know,
yeah.
With the bucket head.
Yeah.
It's Jason, I think.
Chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken yeah, backpack. Yeah. Yeah, it's about the 7-inch little girl pink thing.
Yeah.
But, and you know, he kind of does the Steve Vai thing. Excellent musician guy, you know, tall man. But somehow the mask came off. And
ooh.
He freaked out. He carries one nunchucks too. He moved out the nunchucks and just went after his amp. And I'm seeing him throw this huge fit. You know, I felt bad for him. I look, you know, we're up in the thing. We got done playing. I'm looking down in the crowd. And I see some dude with the mask on. It gets being passed around and then some dude has it on. And I know it. That fucking would freak Buckethead out to see that. Because it's like almost like...
Wow.
Santo?
Yeah, the wrestling can't
yeah,
get the mask off.
Yeah. Like, oh!
That's exactly what that is.
Yeah, it's heavy.
That's a Friday the 13th mask,
okay.
I think.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Hey, Bootsy wasn't playing with him that night.
No, it wasn't. Laswell was on bass. Laswell was on bass.
Oh.
Okay, before Laswell and King Tubby, we had Mother of the King with Radar Hill. And Moskva, before that, with Nigby. And we start out with your song, Peak, right? T-I-B-W-F.
Yeah.
Which nobody knows what means.
That is cool.
Well, but somebody
you're
does.
It.
We're
yeah.
just not here.
I'll give
this
it
this is bigger when flaccid.
What are you going with?
I'm trying to figure this out. Alright, but in between there we had the long version of me talk about love, but which I just heard again for the first time a few days ago. I forgot all about it. I think George Hurley's girlfriend, Mary Cooper, is singing with us.
That's like In a Gotta De Vida long.
Yeah, like minute 13 or something. The original was 38 seconds. We're going to play something. This is a Polish band, and the name of the song is Zabby, but it's with an I instead of a Y. And the reason I say that is because my kayak is named Zabby from a character in a Thomas Pynchon book, Mason Dixon. So, think of me paddling.
We're going backwards into the city, stumbling blind with who we stand.
All right. That was Noise Clinic with Where's the Freedom. Before that, we had Musica Conca Lata with Zabi. And we're at the end of the July 10, 2007 Dish of Wap from Pedro show. I want to thank me and Brother Matt's guests, P,
yeah.
Vinny Vegas,
thanks.
Jerry Trebatich.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks a lot.
And helping us with this in-between tour leg radio show of mine. Brother Matt, much respect for much needed, appreciated, aided, and abetted.
Brother Matt.
Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.